Harlan. Wanna thank you everyone for attending. This is great turnout and stuff like that. So thank you for whoever dispersed the knowledge and all that. I know we sent out some mailers, but I'm sure the HOA communities did a lot to help everyone get out here and stuff like that. So I'm Chris Biggerstaff. I'm with DPW Utilities in the engineering group. I'm a senior engineer there, and I'll be kind of walking you through the findings that we had from our initial odor monitoring. Just want to note, we are recording this meeting so that we can, again, display it to others who couldn't be at this meeting so that they can get this knowledge also. We also ask that you hold your questions until the certain slides that we have. We have several slides throughout our presentation for questions and all that, so we broke it out into sections and all that. We're trying to get out the information before we have to stop every slide and all that to answer the questions. So introductions again, like I said, I'm Chris Biggerstaff. In the Bureau of Engineering, I'm the project manager for the odor control evaluation project, as well as the future capital project that will go with this one. Karen Henry, she's our director of DPW. Aaron Day is the assistant director of DPW. Matt Deal is with customer relations. Terry Winslow is who you signed in with up there. Beth O'Connell is our deputy director of engineering. Chris Murphy is an engineer administrator with engineering. In the back we have Noelle. I can't say her last name, I'm sorry.
Noelle and
thank you. She is the deputy director of utility operations. With her is David Kramer. He is the utility administrator for wastewater operations, so he's over all the plants in Anne Arundel County. And then behind me is Andrew, he is the plant manager of Annapolis. So, thank you. So the meeting purpose is we want to notify you of the scope of the project. Again, currently we're in the odor control evaluation project. Provide the goals of this project. Discuss the current status of the project and review the initial monitoring findings. Provide the next steps of the project. Give you updates of the design and construction project and answer any questions. So, real quick, can everyone hear me in the back? Okay, cool, thank you. So the reasons for the capital projects. Upgrades have been made to the plant. Phase one upgrades, which finished about 2 years ago now, include the influent pumping station, grit and bar screens, and primary clarifiers. An evaluation was needed to ensure the sizing of the odor control systems matched the previous and upcoming upgrades. So we have several plant upgrades that we're doing in the future. Phase two is actually about to start in the next month or two, hopefully, and all that, and that'll be covering some of the aeration basins and other control processes. An engineering service request was submitted from the wastewater operations, and that was to review the failing odor control system in the grit and stream building. And as you've probably seen in the results that we sent out to you, that was one of the higher zones and all that. So, and then, of course, several community groups noted and agreed to note, which is why I'm sure a lot of you are here now. So the goals of the current project that we're underway in. So we want to pinpoint the areas of focus for the potential upgrades and our operational improvements. That's the main focus of this, is to find out what we need to fix now and stuff. We want to monitor the individual processes to identify the possible issues with others we may not have known about. Identify the level of need at each process and the level of odor control needed. Identify the possible improvements to existing processes to minimize odors, and set up the scope and estimate costs for the design and construction project to expedite that design process. So go over some of the steps we've taken for this prior to this meeting. Again, we started the evaluation project to go through everything. We hired an engineering consultant, HDR, under the open-end agreement, and developed a scope and came to terms. We've held several public tours and discussions with HOA leaders. Several of them are here today. The initial monitoring phase was completed, and that was held from March 19th to April 22nd. I believe the report was finalized sometime end of May, May 20th or something. Plant operations are flushing the filter backwash troughs on a daily basis, and the design evaluations have been initiated for this area. So in that findings report that we'll get into a little later, that was one of the higher reading areas. And so what we've started to do, and you may have noticed slightly and all that, is we're starting to clean that area more. Operations has reached out to the equipment supplier for troubleshooting of the grit and screen odor control unit. So these are the areas monitored, and there was a handout out front, I'm sure, with the number of people, not everyone got them and stuff like that, but it's the same thing. So we had, county bought 14 loggers in total, 10 PPM monitors and 4 PPD monitors. The PPMs are the ones that are in that pinkish color, and the PPB monitors are the ones in green. Those are pictures of the two monitors that we have. The one on the left is the PPM monitor. The one on the right is the PPB. And again, those are in general areas and all that and pick up H2S. So they only pick up hydrogen sulfide. So this is will be the first stop for questions. And if we can kind of gear the questions just for what we kind of just covered. If anyone has any questions.
In your diagram of the monitors, there were no monitors on the east side between Chesapeake Harbor condominiums and the plant. How come?
So you're talking over in this area?
No, east side. East side.
Sorry.
The north east side, area, the fence line.
The entire east.
Okay. Wood. Yeah, so we looked at it and we tried to get it closer to the processes that we have. So in the east side, again, we have the one in the southeast. And all that, that's fairly close and all that, and in this area and all that, it's kind of hard to get into for other ones. We may look at putting one there in the future, but we're kind of focusing as close as we can to our processes, because those are going to give us the highest hit and stuff. So.
You showed a slide a second ago, I showed what you were monitoring for, it was one item. What is it?
Hydrogen sulfide, okay. So it's that kind of sulfur smell you smell from
rotten eggs
and stuff like that.
Why are we only testing one?
Because that is the biggest odor problem we have and all that.
Okay, so there's no other problems?
The one you're smelling around the site is from hydrogen sulfide.
So no other?
Yeah.
So to echo that question, could you clarify, just because we can't smell something, is there anything else that we should be concerned about emanating from the plant? I'm one of the residents who lives on the side where there's no monitor, and the smell is horrendous. So that's one thing as far as what you're testing for, but what about everything else?
So the primary byproduct of the process we do would be hydrogen sulfide and all that. So the other gases, if any, would be minimal.
So. How do we know that if there's no testing or anything else?
Good question.
So, I'll take my best at answering that. So in a typical wastewater process, what's given off is hydrogen sulfide, and that would be the thing that you would smell. We're not doing anything that's, atypical of a wastewater plant. I don't know, Andrew, you can help me out. Is there anything special about our plant that I can think of?
No, the only byproduct of wastewater would be hydrogen sulfide. I mean, we wouldn't be producing any other gases in the plant.
Yeah. Okay. So, this gentleman's hand up first.
Chemistry 101, if you add some oxygen, the H2S is hydrosulfuric acid, sulfuric acid. I grew up in western Pennsylvania, in the mills of western Pennsylvania, and you had deleterious effects from H2S. Now, what have you done to show that you're not doing that to our health?
So, I mean, at this point, we're taking the monitors. There are existing odor control systems on site that are eliminating hydrogen sulfide.
Eliminating. How much are you eliminating? And how much are you seeing that is going into my lungs?
So, again, we'll get into that later in the things. We have the monitoring results that show how much is going past our processes and how much is being captured by our odor control. Salty, next.
What about volatile ammonia or ammonium, which can go up into the air and then be deposited in the river and that stuff, or on the air? So is, I guess the question is ammonia or ammonium being monitored at all as well?
Is it monitored for that?
Our monitors are only monitoring hydrogen sulfide at this point.
We had talked prior to the start of phase one testing, and we were told that additional monitors for things like ammonia would be in place for the phase two.
So that they're not going to be a full-time monitoring and all that, but there will be some monitoring of other potential off gases.
Do you have a timeline for eliminating the odor, or can you? Do we have to live with it and reduce that?
So we have a brief schedule of where we're going at the very end of the slides and all that. I want to pinpoint one of the things you said of eliminating odor altogether, which all please remember, this is a wastewater plant and stuff like that. That there is no eliminating the odor completely, unfortunately, and stuff like that. What we're going to bring it down to a low level as possible. So.
Sorry, you got somebody over there.
Hi, can you talk a little more about the hydrogen sulfide and what the toxic is, and what we should be aware of as a community, and how it's harming us, and what levels are appropriate?
So I don't know if I'm prepared to discuss that because I'm not a health person, or I'm not a director in health. I don't have any degree in health and stuff like that. But there, so the OSHA standard is 20 parts per million, stuff like that. So that's the OSHA standard and all that. We're trying to get well above, below that. Stuff is our goal. So. Back to the
church. So I've owned in Chesapeake Harbor for over 25 years. When I first moved in, we formed a stink committee that I was on because I'm an organic chemist and we toured the plant. Lately, I mean, it was fine, it got better, and then lately it's gotten worse. So I don't know that I heard it. Why has it gotten worse?
So that's what is somewhat confusing us, because we're not sure what has changed in the process as well. So that's one of the reasons we're doing this evaluation, is we're getting more complaints because of that, and we're not sure what the real reason is. So that's the goal of this evaluation. So.
In the back.
Let's start. Didn't you say that some things had been broken that you are needing to be fixed? And you've also said you've taken some steps since the monitoring. Could you just recap that, both of those things? What's broken? And what have you already taken steps to fix?
You want to cover what's currently, I guess, broken
as far as equipment or as far as...
I don't know, it was up there on the slide that it was, you knew that this was now failing.
So the grit and screen odor control unit and all that, while it's in operation, where it was believed that it is not operating at 100% efficiency and stuff like that. So it's. And as you can see in the report, it was one of the higher areas,
right,
confirming our suspicions and stuff.
And then you mentioned you've taken some steps to fix.
Yeah, so again, we're contacting the rep for the odor control in the grit buildings alone to see, okay, is there anything we can do at this point, or is this unit kind of dead or something like that? The other one is the backwash area. The denitrification filters, where they backwash into the troughs and stuff like that. We have cleaned that area, and now we're doing daily washouts of that area to try to get the area from stop aerating.
It might be interest to them that we showed where on the plant map.
Okay.
What we're doing, So
yeah.
The backwash area is...
Yes, right, the backwash area is up here.
Right up in here. So, Andrew, you're doing daily cleanings of the backwash area?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that started sometime in mid-May. So since mid-May, Andrew has been out there cleaning the backwash area. And then I think I'm trying to remember where the other one, is it over here? You get
the grit?
The grid building over here. Yeah. This is the one where we've contacted the odor control manufacturer. We're trying to work to troubleshoot any issues over there.
Thank you.
Is that the one that had the broken door that was staying open and could not be affecting the draw that's of what's coming out to be filtered through the air mitigation system?
Potentially. A fairly small effect, but yeah, the idea of that unit is to be able to suck all the air out of that building.
So there's an open door, it's equivalent to having a hole in a vacuum tube, right?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Sir?
There's an enormous amount of homes, apartments that are going online along Forest Drive and anywhere in mid, and they're all going to be secondary sewage. How's that going to affect us?
So before they would be able to be built, yes, they have to at least advise us of the capacity they need and get approved that the plant has that available capacity for that. I mean, Chris could probably
answer that. I think these are the numbers I'm remembering. I think the plant's got about 13 MGD of capacity, and we're somewhere around 10 MGD.
We're not 8.5.
8 MGD. So we have capacity in for future growth. Whenever a subdivision comes in, we model it to ensure there's capacity in the plan and also in the demand system. I'll let him call and get because I don't know who's next.
No,
I would argue that you don't have capacity for future growth because you don't have capacity for the existing growth. I mean, the units that are coming online are for absolutely crazy. If Crystal Forest gets built, we go back out to his chicken pen on Forest Drive, this affordable housing community is going up with like, 60 units, maybe 3 toilets per unit. And how stringent are you going to be when those developers come to you and say, we want to go online to your plant? Are you going to really be honest and say, sorry, Mr. Wealthy Developer, we don't have room for your developers to go online here? Or are you just going to go ahead and rubber stamp for development?
So Crystal Farms, I believe, is in the city of Annapolis. So Anne Arundel County DPW doesn't have say on what happens there, except for the fact that we share the capacity of the plant. So there's that. They have their allocation, we have our allocation. The other, I'm not sure which affordable development you were talking about, but we have to ensure that we have capacity in all of our treatment plants, all of our pump stations. We don't want sewer spills, so we're definitely checking all that out. So I have hydraulic models, things of that nature to look at that. We are making sure we have capacity in our system. There's a state permit requirement actually at the plant, so
that would be that. But isn't it true that when Maryland Department of Air just submitted 2 clauses for odor mitigation in that permit renewal, and you guys have rejected those clauses to get the license? Or are you stepping up the requirements that they proposed? Because we just heard that there are 2 clauses that they proposed for nuisance odors that included keeping the community aware of what's going on, and they informed us today that you rejected those.
You're protesting.
I guess what I'll say is,
I don't know about those specifically, but in general, in terms of a permitting process, kind of something between us and the state is sometimes they try to include clauses that are not necessarily appropriate to put in a permit.
Okay. You're saying in general, specifically, would you like us to read them?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to do an H2S.
Can the speaker speak up? Whoever's talking, can you speak up louder?
Do that. Okay. I'm gonna read the clauses that were proposed in the license renewal. Odor management requirements. The permittee shall conduct regular odor annoyance surveys. Probably right into that. Very appropriate. And engage in community outreach initiatives to assess how the local population experiences the odor of the facility. Following the assessment, the permittee shall implement effective odor control practices to ensure that objectionable odors originating from the facility remain imperceptible beyond the confines.
shall furnish an annual report to the department, and that would be the Maryland Department of Energy or Environment, to, by each anniversary of the permit's commencement, the report shall delineate the actions taken over the preceding 12 months to mitigate odors stemming from the storage, treatment, or disposal of wastewater. Additionally, it shall outline any forthcoming plans for facility enhancements and procedural measures to minimize such odors throughout improved housekeeping practices. And then we had other clauses that we wanted to incorporate, but these to me seem very relevant.
Yeah, so sometimes there are things that we very much agree with, great practice, they don't just necessarily belong in our department. So it doesn't mean that we disagree with doing that.
We may take action.
That's actually very much in line with that. It doesn't necessarily go on.
If it's in a permit, we have
to hold people
accountable. Otherwise, you know.
Right.
This would be the point of doing that. What would be the point of that?
Exactly.
Yeah, why
appeal that?
It's because it doesn't speak to actually what we're trying to do, which is the actual service.
That's what it speaks to. It speaks to our community, businesses, and residents.
Our lives, our families, our homes,
property values.
Our lungs.
This is a public health issue. It's not just food taking. Seriously. Was that funny?
No, every single person, we spend our entire careers doing nothing but this. So we take it very seriously. I don't want to ever give you the impression that we are minimizing this at all. I hope we haven't done that. We take it so seriously, that's why we've done this stuff. And we'll continue. Again, it has a little bit more to do with the nuance and what belongs in a permanent dump.
So if you take this so seriously, will you commit today the testing for the unknown things that we don't know about, aside from just the smells? We want to know what we're breathing in every day. And I'm taking you at your word. You take it this seriously. Take us this seriously and test for everything. And be transparent with everything. Will you commit to that today?
We will test for what is appropriate to be tested.
What is appropriate?
Okay, so not everything that you can test for is actually produced in a wastewater plant as a byproduct.
We understand.
Wouldn't make sense, right?
They're all chemicals. They're all chemicals that we're breathing in.
No.
So we deserve to know what you're using and what is in the air that we're breathing in every day.
I think we can address your concern.
So you'll commit today to test for everything.
We will test for what's appropriate. Again, we can't test for everything. I mean, that wouldn't be possible.
Maybe you can say what you will test for in addition.
Yeah.
Or do we have to do a certain, do we have to study this on our own to see what you need to additionally test for, or could you add more things to your testing that would be relevant?
We will take a look at that.
That's what I think she's asking.
Do you know everything you're admitting?
Yes, they do.
Okay, if we can get back to at least raising hands.
This woman has been really patient. She's been really patient.
Hi, my name is Talita Jackson. Everyone calls me CC. I'm part of the CAAG group. There's actually, I worked at NIH, National Institute of Health, in 2023. They put out an article. Please write this name of the article down. Wastewater Treatment Plants. Wastewater treatment plants as a source of malodorous substances. And in the article, what it says is one of the MDE said that we have high levels of hydrogen sulfide, and it says the long-term effects of hydrogen sulfide are anxiety, depression, restlessness, eye irritation, which I've experienced living near, I live right behind the sewage plant, headache, respiratory issues, nausea, vomiting, and the methyl, whatever, there's another chemical that's being used that can cause liver problems, kidney problems, cardiac arrhythmia. And so one thing that I've read, it says that part of the problem of the rotten smell is the processes that are being used. So, for example, it says that you can use hydrogen peroxide and ozone to limit some of the smell. So my question to you all is, moving forward, what are some processes, your stabilization process, what are some processes that you're going to do differently to minimize or lower the smell so that we can be healthy?
Well, so thank you.
To answer that, again, that's why we're doing the evaluation. From the evaluation, they're going to make recommendations of best technology of how to appropriately deal with the odors we are getting from the hydrogen sulfide. So.
I totally understand what Ms. CC is saying, and Sharon's saying. How many in here have had burning eyes? How many up here? How many people have the burning nostrils? Put your hands down. How many people have the burning throat? Put your hands down. How many have had the mucus, the drainage, and the coughing spasms? How many of you have been on 8 different medications? That's me. And I have suffered from whatever that toxicity is, because when it starts at midnight, it wakes me up between 12 and 3 a.m., and I immediately take 2 blankets in this pillow, and I put it over my head and just pray that it goes away, because I spoke with the doctor, and I don't know if I'm going to have any lung disease. I don't know if it's going to give me cancer, but a lot of those CC that you know, what I've been through. And this is the first time I've been able to sit and not have a coughing spasm and embarrass myself. And I've practically lost my voice from the coughing spasm. It literally almost shuts my breath down. And that's why I'm here tonight. I don't want to know what you're going to do.
Just to add to it, I know we're talking about the odor and what's in the air. Sometimes what I've experienced is if we have a heavy rain, it's almost like I can't even take a walk.
Yep.
Because when you say run off, I need to understand what that means.
Yeah.
Literally, you can't even walk 3 blocks down the street to walk your dog because in fear that my shoes are on stepping on something. I'm in the unknown, I don't know, but when you need to also explain runoff, because I'm very concerned about that as well. Is there runoff as a rain?
Runoff is a storm event that wouldn't be related to the wastewater plant.
Okay, so what I smell and what's going leaving the plant is not anything that's toxic.
Yeah, there shouldn't be anything coming from the plant to the surrounding area that's wastewater. We keep that's all on the site. That's not running off. Chris, I don't know if you want to get to the next steps or the results.
Yeah, we have more time for questions and all that. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about the next steps about what we're doing.
So, okay. So next part, we'll go through the results that we got from our spring readings. So the first one was from the infrared pump station. So let me just back up real quick to the site and all that. So sewage comes in to the infrared pump station here. We'll go through the grit and headworks buildings, into the primary clarifiers, into the aeration basins. We then have secondary clarifiers, and then goes into nitrification filters, and then we have some UV filters as well, and then eventually it gets discharged over to the Severn River. So just walk me through a quick process of it so we can explain it a little bit better. So first one we did was at the influent pump station. So as you can see, we had areas that spiked and all that, but we took our readings prior to our odor control unit and stuff like that. Kind of an oversight a little bit on our side, but from the readings we got, they are not excessive and can be effectively treated with the appropriate odor control technologies. One of the questions we did receive prior to this meeting, again, was these numbers that we have here, were they, did they include the zero readings? And no, they did not. So the zero readings were taken out of these numbers and the averages. So, or at the time that we didn't get reading results. So the next one is the Scream and Grit building. Again, this is the building that the odor control system is not currently functioning 100% effectively. So again, they are significant as these are not treated correctly. It is likely that these are emissions that are contributing to the off-site odors. The primary clarify launder. So one of the upgrades for the phase one project was the primary clarifiers and all that. And we have launder covers around the outside, the perimeter of the primary clarifiers and all that. So these monitors were located under those launder covers. So we tested both the clarifier one and two. They track consistently with each other, indicating good air movement below the covers. Concentrations are consistent with what might be expected from beneath the cover primary, the covered primary clarifiers. So the air under that, those primary clarifiers, actually gets sucked and put into our blowers that gets used in our aeration basins later and stuff. So the gravity sludge thickeners, those are those, let me back up real quick. These are over here. That's taking the sludge from the primary clarifiers and other processes and storing it. So while they may look high, it's somewhat expected to be this. And again, air from those units gets pulled into the blowers and used throughout all the plant processes. The odor control blowers, that's again the blowers pulling from the gravity thickeners and the primary clarifiers. Again, we expected to see high numbers here as we did and all that, but those get put into the aeration basins and used for air bubbling to help settle. One of the things I want to clarify here is the main reason we checked on some of this is we're looking at an upgrade for high-speed turbo blowers, so we may have to look at other technologies for odor control as those new blowers may not coincide with the gases we get off of these other processes. The solids facility, this is the facility that everyone, that real big facility next to the gated entrances that we have and all that, that's a real big one. They do have a massive odor control system, and as you can see, it is working very well. We're not quite sure what happened on these couple spikes and stuff at that point, whether something got turned off or shut down accidentally or something like that, but overall, it's worked well in the good range. So, then we took tests for the aeration tanks and the secondary clarifier launders. So those are after our aeration basins and all that, and they basically gave us almost no readings whatsoever. There were a couple spikes and all that that didn't make sense with the processes and all that, but we're still looking into those. So all those tests there were the PPM monitors that we did. So this is a summary of those. So the primary clarify augers show the highest frequency and magnitude, so which is what we expected and all that. All that air is then being sucked into our blowers and being used in the aeration basins. Next one was the Scream and Grit building air, had the next highest, and that's again that process that we know is broken. We're not working efficiently. The influent pump station was next. That one does again have a odor control system, but we pulled in front of it. The blower duct logger, again, we expected to see the odors there because we were sucking from processes that create odors. Ground storage tanks were where the sludge thickeners were. Again, we were expecting them there. And the solids facility had the lowest, again, that we pulled after their odor control unit, so we know that their unit is working effectively. So, next ones we're going to talk about.
Could you go back and you show the PPM results? What the NDE goals are at those levels, it's not clear whether you're meeting goals at the different
points. So MDE has not posted any goals of what they...
What was the 20?
The 20 ppm is the OSHA standard.
OSHA, okay. So, isn't that the guiding...
That would be the maximum we would ever want to produce.
20?
Yes.
So we are exceeding this.
Oh, yeah. In certain phases, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. So. Okay, so the next ones we're going to talk about are the PPB monitors. These are the ones we put all along the fence line. So the one at the north was up close to the Maritime Museum. This was the higher concentrations of detection frequencies are influenced by the prevailing winds. Again, most of the winds kind of go from south to north.
What elevation was it set at?
3 or 4 feet. It was on the. It was actually on the fence and stuff. So. So the big thing we're leading back to this was the denitrification filter backwash holding tank. That's about the only process in that area that has a kind of open area and stuff like that. So northwest, this was actually fairly close to the north one, and we believe basically the concentrations are on this one are similar. This area at the end, we moved at the tail end of our monitoring over by the sludge process building and stuff like that. We moved it over there to try to space them out a little bit more. So, the south one was over south of the grit building and the primary clarifiers. So again, relatively lower detection. We think this is somewhat, again, the wind is blowing from south to north, so it's blowing it the other way. So. Then the southeast was the one closest to the Chesapeake Harbor community. And this one had relatively low detection magnitude. So monitoring results, again, the loggers on the north side, closer to the Annapolis Maritime Museum, recorded the highest H2S concentration. It was a 24% concentration of 4 ppb to 206 ppb. The northwest fence line was next highest, had a 19% detection, and went from 4 ppb to 163. Southeast and south fence line loggers had the lower detection frequencies, about 2% for the southeast and 7% for the south. Higher concentrations and detection frequencies to north and northwest likely influenced by the prevailing winds.
Hey, Christian?
Yep.
Is the range here different than the range from the ppm, or is this, has this been adjusted to the same? Because we had that 20 limit before.
Yeah, so
this is a different limit.
This would be a different
because this is parts limit. Per billion, which yes. Before it was parts per thousand or parts per million, right? Yes. So
what's the OSHA standard here?
It's World Health Organization standard.
So,
the World Health Organization has an advisory level of 5.
It'd be 0.02 parts per billion.
Chris, could Sharon mention this? This is really important.
The World Health Organization has an advisory limit of 5 ppb. In order to not be an odor nuisance. The OSHA limit is 20 ppm, and NIOSH also has a limit for their exposure, and that is 10 ppm.
Okay, thank you.
You said you're using new technologies or looking for technologies to mitigate the odor, I understand that. Do you have any collaboration with other counties? Only because we happen to have a place in Wicomico County or Worcester County across the street from a wastewater plant have never had an odor. Do you collaborate with other counties to see what type of mechanisms they're using? They did have a problem with odor a few years ago. In 10 years, we've not had a problem since because they went through a whole process clearly what we're trying to do here. Is there any thoughts to maybe reaching out to other counties and seeing if they can tell you, I don't know how wastewater treatment plants operate and run, obviously, but clearly using your other counties and their advice may be helpful?
That's something we would do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just the best technology that's out. If you have a wastewater treatment plant that services a town that big that is able to mitigate odor, we should certainly be able to fix it here.
That's right.
Okay, so here you can see the map from the Smell My City. Again, this is only during the same testing frequency that we did our testing. You see the heat map shows where the most complaints are coming from. Again, it's basically centrally located around the plant. The scatter plot shows the locations of individual complaints. Same data shown differently. And then here's the correlation again between the Smell My City data and our fence line monitors and all that. So,
did you have a significant increase in sewage that you had to treat over this period?
No.
Excuse me. You tore up Edgewood and put in bigger pipes to take more sewage about 5-6 years ago.
Yes.
Your pipe was part of the
We connected our Mayo system, into Annapolis. I guess that like you said, that was 5 or 6 years ago. But you asked if there was an increase. I guess I was thinking like the immediate like last year.
I got a question for you and a comment. You said at the beginning of the meeting that the smell started around mid-May. That's false. They've been going on for about 6 weeks. And I can tell you, I work the Annapolis Sailboat Show and City Dock. We can smell it at City Dock in the third week of April.
No, I mean, I was saying that he started cleaning that filtration area about in mid-May. Not that we thought smells occurred.
So that's sort of like working on the sewage line at the headwaters of Spot Creek the week after they were notified there was an issue. My comment is if this smell continues this way, why is the plant continuing to receive pump out trucks dumping more sewage into the plant?
Basically overflowing raw sewage onto Bendy Beach Road, right in front of the Chesapeake Region accessible boating facility where handicapped people are going.
I would still like an answer to my question before another question is asked.
So I'll just take that. I don't think we thought about that as a change. I think the amount of septage that we receive is very small compared to the rest of the flow from the plant.
It's just my thinking that if you have a broken plant, why aren't you doing what you can to minimize the amount of effluent that's coming into the plant so you can work on it, correct that action, and then have it ready to accept
the amount of septic coming in is a drop in the bucket of the amount of flow that comes in for everything. It's less than 1%.
But the flow that the septic trucks are coming in is still county wastewater that needs to be treated in the county.
Just saying.
Just a very quick question. You have a real credibility issue on the fence line monitor, and you're obviously you have a difference in the way the data are being portrayed. So explain to this audience, what was your selection process? Who guided you where to locate these fence line monitors? It seems to me only doing three is a bit, or four on the fence line, seems a bit of an insult given the concentration of people. And number two, it seems as though, I'd like to know whether it was HDR, your consultant, or was another compelling entity that selected it, because putting something on a fence line 3 feet above the ground certainly can't effectively measure these types of odors. So educate all of us how that came about. It seems to be a common study that we've done before.
Yeah.
So bring us up to speed.
So HDR is a nationwide...
I know who HDR is.
Okay, well,
please. So,
I don't know if you want to go back to that. I think what Chris said earlier was that the plane map. We selected them to be not necessarily where we thought.
Did you select them or did HDR select them?
HDR assisted us with the HDR's our consultant. I'm sure they selected them.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I think HDR selected them. They're a consultant on this.
I understand that.
Okay. So I believe that we put these monitors right where the processes were, not necessarily where the people were, because we wanted to get the highest concentrations so that we could figure out what was going on with the processes so we could fix it there. And then that would essentially fix the issue that you guys are stuck. That was our thought. To me it wasn't obvious that there wasn't anything over here, but you know, we do have a big blank space of processes that aren't actually happening here. So I get your point.
Are or are not happening?
But there's nothing happening over here unless we need to store wastewater in the ponds. We don't have anything going on in this immediate area right here.
There is
smell.
Yeah. Do you have to store wastewater in those ponds, and how often in the past few months?
I'll let Andrew answer.
Back in March and April, I think we used them a couple times. Not at all. Actually, I don't think April we used them at all. Maybe we didn't use them at all.
So there were times we were getting raw sewage. If you had put a monitor, the scent of raw sewage, if you had put a monitor on that east side, it likely would have picked that up. But my next question is, do you plan on putting more monitors? And there are so many people reporting nuisance smells there. On the east side, were there no monitors?
So we do have a further round of monitoring that we're going to do in summer as well and all that, so I'm sure a lot of these monitors will be choosing different locations for anyways.
Are you going to share what summer monitoring is going to look like?
We can.
Not tonight.
And will you share
we haven't discussed it with the...
Where the monitors will be located, so it's transparent, we can all understand. When you do your additional monitoring, will you communicate with the homeowners associations, the neighbors, the museums, of when this is taking place and where you're locating them?
Yeah, we're going to tell you when it's going to take place in the next couple slides, and we can definitely share the math going forward.
And is there a reason why you wouldn't monitor full time and you don't need to stay?
So it's not a typical process to monitor full time. It just wasn't ever really done at any plant of ours previously. So
you can't correlate that to other events that occur.
We can go ahead and get to the question slide.
I'm Al at Chester, though loads of you by email. I'm a physician and I do work on environment and my food works. Even subtly bad air can make you very sick. It's the old stuff, even old talk about it, the guys, cracks, and throats, stuff in the head, but also chronic fatigue, which is my major interest in research. My second point is that the places I investigated, we couldn't document what the air quality was on an objective level. It just everybody knew when they went into the place. It's so coffee, it's so funny, and then when fresh air was blown in, they got better. But the instrumentation was not effective in telling us what was the matter. I think it's great to see if we can get actual documentation, but everybody knows the smell is terrible, and they just said,
I was coming up on the next slide, but I'll touch on it briefly since we're here and all that. So we already have initiated the capital project for the design and construction of the recommendations from this evaluation and all that.
You're going to go over the recommendations.
We're going to evaluate those further and all that, and the design contractor and the new one will evaluate and put us into the design and construction.
What's the timeline?
So we'll get to that in just a minute, I promise.
Typically you do these odor monitoring in the summer when the smells are the worst. And so we have one more round of odor control monitoring is going to happen. And I think Chris is going to show you that for the next one. And then based off of that, the recommendations will come out. So.
It sounds like if we could maybe put a hold on questions, I only have three more slides and then we can open it up back up. That way we can get into the schedule and the next steps and all that. So again, the next steps and all that, we're going to continue with the other tasks of the scope. That's the develop the dispersion modeling. Right. And that formulates the atmospheric processes that disperse a plume emitted by a source. Basically, how does the hydrogen sulfide disperse from where it comes from its emitted source? We're going to use that to predict the concentrations at the downwind locations. And then they're going to also develop technology recommendations. Then we'll go into the summer monitoring and then acquire a design engineer to design the odor control improvements. And we're already in the process of getting that design engineer on board. So here's the projected current schedule. Again, the dispersion modeling tech memo is due to us in mid-June. The control systems evaluation technical memo is late July. The summer monitoring will be in late June to late July, early August. And then the report from that monitoring is expected in late August. And to wrap all this evaluation process up, the recommendation memo will be to us in September. So while the kickoff for the design of the odor control improvements isn't until October, November, we are initiating the process to get our design engineer on board now. Stuff like that. By the time we get them on board and a contract signed, it unfortunately won't be probably until October, November.
So after that, then you're going to ask for the permit approval? After you finish all that, right?
So
then you ask for the permit.
Are we going to wait for questions until it finishes, please? I think that was a good point you made. If we keep doing this, we're going to see all the slides.
I'll come to you first. So just real quick, some contact information. I think, again, Dr. Chester has been contacting me primarily through the group and all that. For the capital projects that we've talked about here today, I'll be the main person for contact and all that. For odor complaints, we've actually set up a couple things that you can report these. One is a report form that if you click on this link here, that you can go to, and we have a form you can click out and do. It's, I want to say it has as much information as Smell My City, but somewhat same information, date, time, place, and stuff like that. This QR code will also take you to that same website, so if you want to take a picture of it there, it will also bring you to the website that we've set up for this that will have updates through the processes and stuff like that. So you can also report online at CQuickFix. Again, that's the county's main hub for customer concerns and
Chris,
stuff like that. So
the QR code that takes you to the website also has this presentation.
Yes. Yep. So.
I have one last question. When the CAAG group contacted the Maryland Department of the Environment, they said that the Public Works would be monitoring the smell. And it's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. And so is there someone from Maryland Department of the Environment? Our concern is we prefer for Maryland Department of the Environment to monitor you all, no offense, rather than you all monitoring yourselves and then reporting out to you. Is that possible?
They don't.
So my question is, you want the permit now, and then you're going to do this.
So this is a renewal of our existing permit. So every
doesn't it also include an increase in capacity?
No, I don't believe so. No. So, but no, this is just a renewal of our existing permit, and we actually filed that permit over a year ago, technically, and stuff like that. So,
in terms of your methodology, I'm wondering if one of the monitoring procedures could involve observing the plant life, the animal life, the insect life. This could involve citizen science. People observing what are the populations of these creatures doing. Obviously, they're probably diminishing in this area, but
foxes.
And we could monitor that as a monitor.
Hi, I'm Alice Estrada, and I'm the CEO of the Annapolis Maritime Museum. And I just wanted to speak to the economic and quality of life that we're experiencing, the impacts of the rancid smell at the park. And I can see now why, because we're one of the highest affected areas. We took over this park in late October of 2016 from the city of Annapolis. We've invested millions of dollars. Including a $1 million pavilion that we need to be able to rent for venue and private event rentals. And of course, it has impacted our ability to rent the facility over there, not to mention that we have 12,000 kids visit our campus each year for environmental education programs. So there's been a lot of feedback on that. I just think it's important for you to note, and I can't speak to the health impacts at all, but I can tell you that it has impacted the recreation, the education, and the ability to enjoy it for better enjoyment at our park campus. And just, again, this is an important revenue stream. We do this at our own expense, no city tax dollars to support that park. So that's very important revenue stream for us.
Hi, thanks for the presentation, Chris and everybody from DPW. My name is Jesse Iliff. I'm executive director of Seven River Association. I've got a few questions, but I'll start with just one that's been touched on, which is there was this connection from the Mayo facility to Annapolis several years ago. There was significant behavior change during COVID. Neither of those two events seems to have generated this sort of response in the facility that we're talking about. So I was wondering if there, it seems like this grit and filter screen might be an issue. Is it the DPW's opinion that that's the main issue, the primary cause? Because, it's not additional flow from Mayo, it's not additional flow for more people staying home. So that's the first thing.
Original suspicion was that was it. After we got the monitoring results, it's now leading more to the denitrification filter backwash area seems to be the bigger problem there.
It may have multiple locations.
Yeah.
That's another reason we want to make sure we get the right results so we can see all the processes. We're definitely going to be doing the denite filter that Chris was talking about. And we'll be definitely looking at the grid system.
So there are a couple of different areas where the infrastructure and the equipment might be the root cause of this. Have there also been any changes in terms of protocols or treatments? I understand that your shop has been escalating the frequency of the grit clean out, right? Are there other practices that might be at the bottom of this that might have caused it, like a decrease in the frequency of some sort of inspection or cleaning or anything?
So that's what we asked operations group and all that, and nothing has really stood out that has changed over the past several years and stuff like that. So that was one of our causes and all that. Did something change, chemicals, something like that, but nothing has stood out that's changed over the past several years.
Okay, and if I could just do one more and then I'll sit down. The questions earlier about the parameters that you're monitoring, in addition to and above and beyond hydrogen sulfide, for our purposes as a river organization, ammonia is especially important because it's a form of nitrogen, it can cause harm to the river. So I understand that this is not your precise shop, but I wonder whether those exceeding ammonia emissions are being accounted for in any way, and how that impacts the county's progress towards its bay cleanup goals. But then also volatile organic compounds, I understand, are sort of another chemical that can be emitted through the air, and these all have human health impacts. So I don't know where we landed on the last questioning about, okay, understood, you can't test for everything. There might not be a need to test for you know, something random like cyanide or something like that, but what about the things that you have reasonable grounds to believe are going to be emitted, like ammonia and VOCs, and will you share a plan for monitoring those and share the results for them when and if that time comes?
Yeah, I think it's something we need to talk about with our experts, which is HDR, honestly. That's who we rely on for kind of that expert test. Sorry. We would be talking to our consultants about that. I get the concern.
We need to talk to us so we can understand it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So we'll talk to them. We'll figure out what it is that might make sense to test for. The other constituents wouldn't generally impact the odor issue, so they are two different things. And then we'll relay that to everybody, what that recommendation is.
When?
That's what I was going to ask. Your next meeting, which we are assuming you will be having another meeting with all of us, maybe we have it at the Maritime Museum? But anyway, bring in the consultants so that they can answer the questions that you're not able to. The new ones that you're going to be hiring and this one that you have right now.
Yeah, great. Okay. We'd be able to bring in HDR. The other ones, we don't have them yet. But they're a design consultant, not a study consultant. So probably not what you want to hear anyway.
So thank you. I am president of Mariners Point Association, which is just down the road, Edgewood Grove, 267 homes. So I think our residents calling me, which happens to HOA presidents, what's up with the smell, what are you doing, what can we do? So I understand you're getting questions yourself, and I thank you for standing here. No one here is saying, you're doing a great job, we love what you're doing. So you are a little bit on the hot seat, and I appreciate that. In the meantime, I've done my research also on different kinds of levels from everybody else here. I'm not an expert. There are studies in Iran, there are studies in Africa, there are studies in Belgium, there are studies at the UN, to name just a few, that tells us that there is respiratory involvement with people that are near water treatment plants. Now, I know they're different. I know they don't all do what you do and have the same controls. But the United Nations, all these other countries, I'm sure something there must spark that says, what is it? It's not, we're not perfect. How can all these other people have respiratory involvement and nobody from our treatment plant area tonight? So that's all I'd like you to kind of think of that. I think a lot of people here are feeling that, really concerned. Thank you for your time.
I just like to follow up on that because I too have done the research and I read the report that Dr. Chester shared so nicely ahead of time. And you know, they're at these concentration levels of, you know, the odor is hydrogen sulfide, which is a highly toxic gas which will kill you. Mm-hmm. And the EPA monitors for it too. Like at levels at 200 ppm and above, at what point do you trigger an EPA enforcement action? Like are you close to being shut down by the EPA at these levels? And if there are 200 at the fence, at the north fence monitoring, what are they on the planet for your employees? Like, do you have an ocean issue? Like, what's going on? Or it's just nothing.
Yeah, just one of the, I think those were for PPV, not PPM.
Okay.
So that was just.
How do you convert?
I think it's parts per million versus parts per million to a thousand. So it could be like.
Your slide says parts per million volume. As opposed to parts per million.
Well, the fence lines were parts per billion.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure there's still definitely perceptible. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're not near an EPA enforcement action.
Reasonably scientific answer to all these questions that people have.
H2S is a severe pollutant in the lungs, and you're guessing.
I'm not guessing.
Somebody's guessing. You're just talking about things. Did you get a health consultant that will be able to make a reasonably good estimation of how much is affecting us?
I don't know. That's not a help. That's not really the time.
Shouldn't it be?
Can we take another question? Okay. All right. I want to agree. I want to thank you for being here. I think it's really important to acknowledge your willingness to share the information, to listen to the fact that we have been saying we have a problem. So I just want to say thank you very much. And ever since I first had a conversation with Dave Kramer, I've been nothing but really impressed with your willingness to work with us and give us the tours. That said, we all know that we are talking about improvement in years. I mean, let's be real. The consultants are going to get hired. You're going to get recommendation. That doesn't even start till October, November. It's going to be years before this is resolved. So I'd like to know, what are you going to do now and immediately to address what we all admit, you, all of us admit, are serious odors. They are unhealthy, they are economically damaging, they are preventing a successful development of the last black beach in this area, Altonia Park, and they are contributing to environmental injustice given the races and the economics of both the workers and the people living in this community. Right. What are you doing next?
So thank you for that. One of the things, so like the D-Night filter area, we know that's a concern based off of what we saw. Andrew's doing a great job washing that down. We have some other work going on at the plant right now. We have our phase two upgrades that we're doing at the plant. We're gonna go ahead and see if we can get that consultant converted into a contract, start looking at a design for that, and then we have a contractor out there. So that actually, the D-Night filter area, if we figure out what's going on there, it'll be quicker of a turnaround fix.
Great.
The other places in the process, we have to wait for the study to figure out what the real recommendations are. So I don't think I spoke out of hand, right, Chris?
No. We talked about that last week. Unfortunately, we really need to wait for the summer monitoring to know the levels we need to basically size everything for it and stuff like that. So unfortunately, until we get those numbers, it's hard to size a new odor control unit for something we don't know how bad an issue it potentially is and stuff like that. So unfortunately, we really can't do much until we get that summer monitoring done.
I guess the question is, what's your go-forward plan? I think you're trying to find out. You may not know everything, but where are you going to go from here?
All right. So, actually, I don't even know what the dispersion model technically is, but we're going to get that in June. We're doing late July. We got more. We're going to do the monitoring in late June, early August. And like I said, we're going to be working on whatever the D-Night covers or whatever we're going to end up doing there. We're starting the design on that now. You know, we found recommendations. I did make sure that we have what was a very rough estimate of funds within for FY25 funds to do work at the plant for odor control. And I think that Chris reached out to the grid system odor control, see if we can get that. Hopefully that will be a troubleshoot that we can fix.
We're working with we're reaching out to the vendor of that unit and all that, see if there's anything immediately we can do to
I will agree with you. If there's big processing equipment that we need to add in that aren't these smaller fixes, we're moving forward with it, but it's still gonna take us a while. It's gonna take us a while.
I know it's not a great answer, but I mean, sometimes we have equipment and it has, you know, year lead times just to get it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
there. My name is Sharon Mostigan. I am working with the Clean Air Action.
louder.
Really speak up. And I am a chemist who's been working with that group. One of my questions concerns the placements of the sensors for phase two, and if you've taken any lessons learned from phase one for the placement of the sensors. And I'll start with the sensors, the PPM sensors that are inside the fence line. In many locations, starting with, say, the influent pump station, you reported very high numbers. In fact, the influent pump station had numbers that were 13.8 ppm. 13.8 ppm is above the NIOSH level of 10 ppm. And you simply state that that was measured prior to filtration. Filtration is in place, so we're all set. Without measuring and having a sensor post-filtration, you don't know if you're all set. You don't know if those filters are sufficient or working properly. Going to your grid and screening building, where you had very, very high levels, I don't know if those measurements were taken
post-filtration.
Yeah. Of 19.9 ppm, that level is just a fraction under your OSHA limit. Never mind what's inside that building. I, for one, went through that building on both of the tours I did over there. I can't believe workers are in that building. If those levels of 19.9 are post-filtration, you have people inside that building who are being exposed to something that is above the OSHA limit. And that has got to be significant. So as you move forward with phase two and then want to go into your modeling, I don't see how you can do modeling without having pre-filtration and post-filtration measurements to know what you're starting with and what efficiency you have from the filters that are in place. Moving to your fence line monitors, the PPB monitors, the slide there just simply, I thought you kind of dismissed those readings and said they were low, so it's not a problem. The average readings you had on those four sensors ranged from 8 PPB 26 ppb. Those are the average reading. If you follow the WHO, the World Health Organization guideline for nuisance odors, you need to be below 5 ppb. Your average was 8 to 26 with a spike of 260 ppb. I don't think you can just take those levels and say they're insignificant.
No, I didn't say they were insignificant.
I thought I read on the bottom of the slide that they were not of nuisance levels. I could have easily misread that, and I apologize if I did. I would recommend the movement of sensors for phase two, especially along the fence line. And you certainly have a large amount of the Smell My City data that could help you where to, or in by you, I mean, you know, the third party group of where sensors should be placed to do effective monitoring during phase two. Thank you.
Tremendous amount of money you're talking about. Is it in the budget?
No.
It's in the 2024-2025 budget. So how much money are we talking about? Put a placeholder in there. I'm trying to remember. It's either $3 or $4 million. I don't remember how much I put in the placeholder.
$3 or $4 million
is going to
fix this problem.
I had no idea that we get these recommendations out here. So I don't know. But that's where I based it off of a previous.
Unfortunately, when we had to make our budget projections, we didn't even have the moderated results at that time.
So it is.
So it's.
Yeah.
Yes, but you knew you had a problem.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's why we set several millions for it and all that, not for just a study evaluation. We tried to, when we did the projection, we pulled from other processes where we have replaced like a odor for a grit building or something similar and all that. So we tried to pull, okay, knowing that more than likely that was going to be an issue and stuff like that, we put that in there and stuff like that.
So the county council is in support of all this also?
You know, when they vote for the budget, you know, it's still before them, and I think they vote on it later this week. The county council has to still place their vote to approve the budget, which they have not done yet. They have not asked us to cut it, so we're optimistic that it
will. So it's not been approved?
But no, not until
So what are you saying? Should we be contacting our council person?
You're welcome to. I think this week is the strike the budget date, so.
Lisa Rodman.
It's not in any of the
right.
It's not what? It's not in any of the
should be fine.
Yeah. They have not, they've already, yes, today was the amendment day, which they would have had cut it out of the budget today. And they did not do that. So what they're going to be voting on will have this project in there, or the funding that this project covers.
Now
it should be good, but we can't say because they still, it's up to them. They have to do the vote. But it's looking good. We're all optimistic.
All right.
They have not pulled it out of the budget yet.
Purple shirt back there. Yes.
It's clear that you're expecting the smell to be worse in the summer. You mentioned you're doing the monitor. And it's also clear from what you said how long this takes. And I'm just sticking a bit out there by the swimming pool with my grandchildren.
Yep.
And suddenly, am I supposed to grab them and run indoors when I smell it? Why aren't there alarms going off?
Why can't you have
these? Oh, glorious in the summertime.
I mean, why?
Because I really don't dare invite my grandchildren.
If I knew how to warn you, I would. But I got to figure out where it's coming from first.
Well, so. But you've got monitors that show when it reaches a certain
So the monitors, the monitors aren't an instant read thing and all that. So they go out for a period of time, and we go and then read from those monitors via Bluetooth what the readings are and stuff like that.
The problem is we live here all the time.
Do you guys plan to put any monitors off GPW property, or are we relying strictly on the Smell My City app for to see the extent of the smell?
So, the problem with putting them off our property is the permit or the allowance of that on someone else's property and all that. We have to get agreements between everyone, basically, that owns that property.
I don't know if it's possible, but I know we have a lot of people here that would probably entertain.
No, I understand that. That's why, at least for now, we kept them on our property and all that. It's
sure.
To just try to get results as soon as possible and stuff like that.
Can I just add to this? I have a letter that says you're conducting the summer survey in July. Does that appear on
No, that'll, well, is it from DPW or before I answer, I guess? Okay, so the summer monitoring would be the sensors that we have basically in place.
So I don't know what the survey are looking at, if it's about monitoring the air.
Can I see that?
Is it a customer survey?
Yeah.
It's a notification that they'll be in the neighborhood.
Just a
notice.
Could,
we can take a look at it.
Can we do that?
I see what you're trying to do with the current monitoring, identifying.
Can we calm down?
I see what you're trying to do with your current monitoring to identify the sources. But in the end, and I think you're probably right, it's probably multiple sources. So it makes sense, we're in Chesapeake Harbor, if you look at your hot, you know, all your complaints are coming from there, I'm sure Chesapeake Harbor would allow you to put monitors along that, and then we have to, and leave them in place. You need to find out, in the end, when we did all these things, you may show on your plants you're making progress, but at the fence line, you're not. And you, if you're going to be doing dispersion modeling, which I assume is air dispersion modeling, you're going to have some data to say, is that dispersion modeling accurate? So it would make sense to do that and keep them in place to know whether you've got a problem, whether you're making progress.
Myself, I'm Sharon Montgomery, and I'm obviously in the Clean Air Action Group. I'm the one responsible for developing those three charts. A small software company, and I actually support clients doing the same thing. This project landed in my lap because when I came back from COVID, I've owned my property here 29 years. It was a problem back then, but when I came back in March 2020, I worked from my office, my home office. So I looked to my right and I see the Cuba Marina. I looked to my left. I can't even open my windows because I feel like I'm a stone's throw from the facility. In fact, I have a map where I have a little star by my deck. Anyway, I'm a problem solver. And when Alec formed this group, I naturally fit into trying to solve the problem using data and technology. Technology doesn't work to solve every problem, but using a crowdsourcing app, a community engagement, because we're businesses here, we're residents, we're owners, we're grandparents. I have an aging parent here. And I have anxiety attacks thinking that I'm exposing her to toxic air. And so we keep the windows closed all the time. So I, as a natural fit, I just started, I think, after Alec put the group together, shortly after that, I started doing software evaluations. I found snow in my city. I evaluated the software. It met all my criteria that I have for my clients, and I have federal clients. If I wanted something simple to use, I wanted grandparents to be able to use it. I wanted it to be free. I didn't want to ask anybody to have a subscription. I wanted it to be quick and anonymous so that if you smell something, you can log it right away and it'll go into the cloud platform for Smell My City, and then I can bring it into an analytic platform for analysis.
We want to share this data with you. We're not here to attack you. We come in peace. We all want a thriving community for businesses and residents. And so, you know, that graph right there, if we break it down to the daily level, I see spikes and I'm thinking, okay, on March 30th, we had a spike in activity and a really smelly day. Then on 4/20, and I'm thinking maybe you guys were cleaning the grills or something. Gives me some comfort knowing that you're at least doing some things over there, but we kind of want to know what's going on behind these spikes. One of them seems to coincide with when they had the spill by Chase Hunt and that waterway was shut down for a week. When that happens, we really suffer badly. And, you know, so I guess I'll wrap up by saying that, you know, as Sharon Huskey mentioned, like I always chemical sensor stuff goes over my head, but we have a sensor right here, and we cannot dismiss that these odors are really bad. Sometimes the odors are chemical, sometimes it's sewage. On 424, people were suggesting that it smells like a barn or animal waste. I feel like there's a donkey next door or whatever. So would you consider, at least since we've stood up this this data collection and community engagement platform, I can easily configure the cloud platform to set alerts so that when we do have a spike day, I can set an alert that says if there's more than 5 or 10 level 4 or level 5 odors, I will automatically send either a text or text and an email to the plant manager on call so that they can evaluate it quickly. And then maybe we can have like a threshold that says if it's not fixed in 3 hours, then we'll escalate. But we would like to work with you on this. And we don't want it, if you're willing to do that, and I'm not retired yet, we've spent a lot of our hours pro bono, and I did that by choice, but I hate to just throw this away since we have the platform stood up, and we will work with you because we really want this fixed, and thank you for it.
Somewhere between 30 to 40 to 50 hits
in
Squamish City. And when it's lower, we get about 15.
I would say it would definitely help us if you report both good and bad and stuff like that, because again, well, we've been looking at that data from the Smell My City and all that, and ever since we started washing the backwash area and all that, we have somewhat seen a slight decrease downward.
I'm noticing that trend. So, I watched the trend.
So it is beneficial information to us if you not just report when it's smelly out to you and all that, but if you could report, okay, yeah, this time is good. Yeah. So.
I also want to add to, you know, not the only thing that ever smells in the wastewater system is just the plant. We have pump stations and gravity sewers and forcing out there to also have odors. And so that really also helps us pinpoint, is it coming from the plant or is it something else?
And we prefer receiving the information that way than the 8400 number that's on the bottom of this. Our emergency dispatch personnel, there are two on call, 24/7, but they're really meant to respond to.
We prefer using the Smell My City app too because it's anonymous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we only included that because Dave Kramer
proposed it. Now, the preference would be either the Smell My City or the outlines, the couple places we mentioned in our website. And again, our dispatch center is really for extreme emergencies. We got sewage overflow, water breaks, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so it takes away from them when they're having to answer calls instead.
We just did what Dave Kramer did.
No, I totally understand and stuff like that. So it's like.
Happy to do something.
So we heard about the long-term measures of what you're going to do. What are you working on now at this summer to fix this? I mean, I didn't get anything about this today.
Yeah, the backwash filter. Yeah, that backwash filter component, we believe, is a significant potential to reduce.
And where did the backwash filter?
It's right in here.
And Venus and Chesapeake Harbor right there.
Yeah.
Like, where it's green hand is where the smell is really bad. So is that the only thing you're doing this summer?
Well, we're doing that, and then over in the grit building, we're trying to do troubleshoot on the existing odor control system to see if it can run more efficiently, I think.
We're working with the representative from the...
Yes, so there's an existing odor control system. We're working with the equipment manufacturer to see if we can adjust the process there for some improvement.
And I realize you have monitoring systems and everything. Have you been monitoring that? Do you get audits? All of us get yearly audits in our businesses. Have you been monitored by anybody?
Marilyn, MDE does do that.
How often?
I don't know.
How often does MDE audit you or meet with you or do inspections yearly?
I mean, we submit our numbers monthly.
They come out and audit that one too.
Yeah.
Name
in the back.
Is that for water or air? Or only water?
I believe it's only the effluent that's coming out of the plant. Right? It's not for
odor.
So
that will be the request in the permit to have them air filter that they
about the smell of the salt pipe, but are you going to add to that any other chemicals that might be coming off that you don't smell that could be toxic? I just never got that clear answer on that. Is there any other chemicals from the plant that's going to be part of the monitoring for phase two?
That's what we have to, I think I said, we need to talk to the consultant about that, but I think you asked kind of two different questions. There's a question of, are there other chemicals that could cause odors, and then there's just other chemicals that
outside of the odors, I think people are concerned about their health. So we already know that we have an odor problem. We know what that's caused from. My question is if you're monitoring this system for phase two, are you adding any other possible chemicals? We don't say you're going to add 100 chemicals, but there might be a top three. Are you going to add anything else?
We're going to look into it.
So the answer is you don't know.
And it's not like it's like one monitor is in, you know, 100 different constituents in the air. They're all in.
How old is this? 2,000.
I know the pipe that leaves Uptonia, so goes to Uptonia, 1937. That's how old the pipe can go out there. So there's always been a plant over here for a long time.
Excuse me, you pointed.
I think they did track the wind direction, didn't they? Did they track the wind direction?
Yeah.
And they're monitoring
it.
Excuse me, you talked about that pipe, but I'm not quite clear because I know going down Bendy Beach Road over to Eastport, there's a sewage line, and that when there's a lot of stormwater, the manhole cover on Bendy Beach Road overflows and the sewage comes down.
That's a city of Annapolis. So, yeah. I don't know, but that's the city of Annapolis system. So the what we have coming into the plant from Anne Arundel County is we have two force mains coming, one from Mayo and then one from the Parole system. So So I don't know the answer for you. What's
that's
your
sewage coming down the mm-hmm.
It goes down to the storm drain where gravel road starts at the Southern Saline School and then flows right in the back creek.
Have you reported that to the city of Annapolis?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
When do you think you'll get us all back together? What are you thinking?
I would think when we got the results.
Probably once we, I would say if we go back to the schedule real quick and all that.
But we want to get the results.
The best time would be probably in September when we have all the recommendations.
Great.
Back.
Yeah, we'll probably send out a communication about what the monitoring plan is because I think a lot of people have the same sort of question about that. So.
He said, I'm sure there'll be posts on that website again they shared here and stuff like that.
Right,
so
right.
It's like,
so great.
We'll be updating there and stuff like that. And you'll have my information there.
I got it, Chris.
So,
we got it.
So what is your goal as far as, I've heard that the MGE has a permanent requirement that voters remain acceptable, and that doesn't sound like the goal that
what are the
standards that you're going to be to achieve?
We
haven't
given
any.
Well, we don't have that yet. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, if it isn't possible to have the imperceptible standard for some of the I don't know. I just was wondering what your standard is.
That's why you should go back to a fence line monitor and say, that's the standard. Are we meeting it or not? And I like the apps and everything, but that's all subjective. It'd be better for you and for everybody else to have data on an ongoing basis. Do we meet it or we don't meet it? And then tell everybody what that standard is.
Right. Good point. All right, thank you.
Yep. Well, thank you everyone for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate it. Thank you for catching.
Yeah, I'm sure. Got that one, make sure that one's off.